Welcome, 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 welcome back to the Smoking Business Podcast with your boy Brendan Robinson. I am your host. We got a special guest here today, man. This is day one in this industry. You know, going back to the med only days.
When you needed a card to buy the weed.
Come on, man.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the one and only guys, Joe LaRusso. What's up, baby?
Thank you.
Now, Joe, what I do a little different on the Smoking Business Podcast, bro, I don't go too deep into my guests in terms of their intros. I would really like for you guys all to kind of introduce yourself to the audience, let them know who you are, you know, your what, your why, and then we jump right into the interview, brother.
Damn. I mean, I've never really been good with intros, but you
talk your shit, man.
You set me up. That was an alley-oop. I got a dunk on this one.
Come but on.
Yes, Joe LaRusso. World knows me now as Krusty on Instagram. Like this man said, been in the weed game out here in Jersey since just about day one.
Uh-huh.
That's how we linked up. Currently now brand managing for Garden Greens. Very, very grateful for that opportunity, that team, the whole team. Like, just to give a shout out as we get started from everyone. Everyone sees me, Toast, Wasu, Aisha, Lou, but like, shout out to the people at our facility that are putting that work in.
Oh, yeah.
This beautiful work that I'm smoking right now. But yeah, that's my intro.
Yeah, bro. I mean, like, you talk about Garden Greens and the wonderful people there. I know we came in towards you guys and know some of those folks. Shout out to Amanda from Rec House and all that kind of stuff, man. I want to get into all that, but I want to start at the very beginning, right?
Okay.
Before we get into, you know, who Joe is today, I want to talk about who Joe was growing up. I want to talk about who Joe was when he was out here, when we was illegal and they were trying to lock you the fuck up for smoking on it, man. Take me back to those days.
Oh, man, dude. Like, the early days, young Joe. I mean, sorry, mom and dad, definitely going to watch this, but I got curious with the plant, like 12, 13.
Okay, you were early.
Yeah, I hung out with a lot of older cats.
Okay.
You know, my older brother's friends a lot, and just fell in love with it then. At that moment, and that young Joe in the early days of weed for mm-hmm. me, it was always, I've always been into like skateboarding, clothing, streetwear like that.
Okay.
That kind of lifestyle always went hand in hand with weed for me. So
for sure.
It was always like, even to this day of how I treat weed goes back to that, because it was always like that Supreme box logo t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, for me, it's the black Myron jar with a Tenco logo on
it. For sure, for sure.
But yeah, dude, go way, way back. And apologies, mom and dad watching. Like, fell in love with the plant early on, 13, 12
years. Oh, wow. You were early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry again. But fell in love with it then and always put it in that lifestyle and ended up further in the dark side of that kind of streetwear skateboard lifestyle. Got addicted to some substances, which later on, now 4 years ago, weed got me back on track.
Okay.
From
okay,
I do have about 8 years sober from those substances though.
Okay.
Like I said, halfway through re-got into weed, and then from finding it again in that stone cold sobriety got me to the medical program.
For sure.
Like we talked about on
sure.
the intro.
Okay. Now you talk about being 8 years sober. Congratulations first and foremost.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know how deep you want to go into this, but like, you know, one big topic for me is always weed as an alternative medicine, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm someone that watched her mother take opioids because she had diabetes and cancer and was in so much pain, Percocet, Oxycontin. And I watched what they do to her, and she had to take it because she was so against weed.
Mm-hmm.
I then see, obviously, the opioid crisis where folks are abusing those drugs. Like, for yourself, man, like, number one, how do you get out of that rut? And then how did cannabis kind of serve as a, or did it serve as a suppressant, alternative? Like, what was that mindset for you?
Well, for me, and I won't dive like too deep on this.
For sure.
I want to start off with saying too, is like, just because I said I found weed early on, it's not why I did opiates.
Got it.
It's not why I expect, that's a totally different situation.
For sure.
I'd love that stigma of weed is this gateway drug to these other substances debate kind of to squash, you know. But yes, like, was on opiates. Funny you mentioned with your mom and seeing that. Hit a super, super bad rock bottom, spiraled into heroin, things got worse quick. and then got sober moving to Philly right outside that area.
Okay.
Did the AA program, did sponsorship, had my own sponsor, and it helped, dude. Like, that's where when you bring in of like how they go hand in hand, I do believe weed, cannabis, whatever you want to call it, helps in sobriety. But I do believe someone, the individual, or for me specific, I needed the structure of AA and that 4 years of complete no substance, no drinking, smoking, nothing, to learn how to be an adult again.
For sure.
But with that, and I'm going to probably touch on this a lot. I'm very faithful, you could say. I have a very strong belief in God, but like, I had that coming to God moment and found cannabis again, because 4 years into this 8 year sobriety, I'm noticing I'm still miserable, dude. Like, my mind's not changing. My mood isn't, like, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I'm doing everything this program told me. And one night I'm with one of my homies. We're just hanging out. And like, I start explaining all this, this individual is not in the program. They were not sober. They were a weed smoker. And they tell me like, dude, why don't you just give this a shot? Like, there's a medical program going on. All this stuff is helping people. And I'm like, shit, you might be right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, real right away, everyone, the thing when you're in sobriety and people want you to smoke weed with them, they like don't want to be in the room when you first smoke it. Mm-hmm. They want you to, all right, you try it first, and then I'm going to come hang out with you.
Real shit, though.
So like, they were like, yo, I don't want to be a part. I'm going to leave this pen here, and I'm going to walk out the room. Whatever you do, like, that's between you, the pen, and whoever.
For sure.
They left. I hit that pen. It was the best night of my 4 years of sobriety, dude.
Oh, wow, man.
And now I'm not saying, like, if you're battling addiction or if you're in recovery, try this right away.
For sure.
It's different to every person. But, like, best night of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I giggled. We went, made, like, grilled cheeses, like, hung out, played music. It was awesome.
No, man. I mean, what a story of just fucking perseverance, bro. And you know, obviously, that was tough for you. But, like, what I love about it is that you took 4 years to just figure out, okay, who am I?
Yeah.
Like, who am I? And although you made, like, to your point, you're like, yeah, okay, I wasn't happy. I wasn't feeling this and that. The plant may have brought you joy, but you kind of knew who you were. You had a foundation of who you were. And then the plant, to me, like Bob Marley says, it just reveals us to ourselves.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, brother, I just want to kind of just talk about that full circle moment where, like, you're now, you know, past that. You're now, you know, smoking cannabis as a regular thing. You're a guy that graduated with a business administration degree.
Mm-hmm.
How do you end up working in cannabis?
It's wild because with the addiction story, dude, I ended up homeless at this point, ended in the Philly area, no job, $7, like whole nine.
Uh-huh.
And I applied to two jobs. It's wild. My degree has nothing to do with how I got into cannabis.
Okay.
Applied to two jobs. One was the Estee Lauder, the makeup company's warehouse, just packing boxes. And one was the Zoomies at an Oxford Valley mall.
Okay.
And I got the job at Zoomies, and that's where I got resubmerged back in, and like said earlier, of like streetwear, skateboarding.
Yep.
And got to build my first network. You and I talked about networking when we got here.
Absolutely.
Dude, got to build my first network there and got to be introduced to dope brands like my boy Zach with the High and Mighty. My boys, Ethan and Bryson at Petty Snacks, did work for Petty Snacks for a little bit. They kind of showed me of like how to manage the brand, and both those brands had something in common, and it was weed.
Okay.
And now with that 4 year into sobriety, start smoking, I then like started exploring of like, Jersey has a medical program.
Mm-hmm.
There's retail stores opening everywhere. I have a retail background now. Like you said, my degree was in business.
For sure.
I have this retail background now. Let me apply to these dispensaries. Like, they could use a manager or a bud tender. Like,
hell yeah.
At this point, I'll take anything, but I want to be on like the weed side and eventually start building weed brands and helping weed brands.
For sure.
And I sat in the back room of my Zoomies store. Shout out to Zoomies real quick.
Shout out to Zoomies, man.
But like just applying to dispensary after dispensary.
Okay.
And the first one, first and actually first of only two to call me back was Zenleaf.
Okay.
And that's how I got in. I went to the Zenleaf on Route 1 in Lawrence. Like, that's my home store. That's my day one in cannabis shop and experience. Went there as an inventory manager.
Okay.
And that's how I got into cannabis without even the business degree.
Crazy, man.
And, like, I'm not saying don't get a degree. Like, go pursue education, further your knowledge, like, learn the plant, learn the industry. But, like, I didn't have to use that at all to get that.
So your degree wasn't a requirement to be an inventory control manager at Zenleaf?
I just had the retail management experience from Zumiez.
It was interesting you say that, right? So a lot of people don't know this about myself. I'm a college dropout.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And prior to cannabis, I worked in business banking with Santander Bank for damn 12 years. Mm-hmm. I was top dog. Number one in the whole country, went on trips, all that type of shit. People always like, man, you must have a degree. You must have your master's. I'm like, nah. To your point, I had early retail experience. So working at banks as a CSR and doing different things like that. So when I went to apply for these roles, I had the years of experience, which at that time they were replacing with your degree. Right. So I'm not saying don't get your degree either, but, you know, proof is in the pudding.
Stay in school. Stay in school and smoke weed.
Real shit. So, all right, you're inventory control manager with Zenleaf. What are you doing? What's your day to day? What is that like?
With being in so early, I was in a very fortunate position. So, like, the early days of our medical only, the inventory manager got to do the ordering for that shop.
Okay.
And that's kind of like my day-to-day was that of just balancing inventory. At that time, it really wasn't many out. You knew how it was in the mid-days. We had four options.
For sure.
So, like, just learning how to talk to wholesale guys and put in orders, like, still to this day, all the wholesale guys I had back then are very good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. So, like, we've had that bond since. But yeah, bringing in orders, finding different SKUs from different vendors and so on.
Now, I know shortly thereafter, you became the GM.
Yes.
Okay.
Did the inventory control for about a year.
Okay.
And then GM at that time got promoted to an out-of-state position.
Okay.
I bumped up to GM. And then oddly enough, dude, it was like, April 21st was the day rec happened.
Correct.
I became the GM like March 21st.
So a month before.
Yeah.
So you're a month in the day this thing goes recreation. Yeah.
And like, it was literally, dude, I'll never forget those days. It was just phone call. It's coming. Oh shit. It's like a week away.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, like, now looking back on it, I'm grateful for it. At the time, it sucked. But, like, we were one of the first 11 stores open, and every single day, the amount of people coming in was crazy.
How many people were y'all seeing a day at that time?
At least 1,500 to 2,000. Yeah, like, dude, I'll never forget that April 21st, we shut down Route 1 on Lawrence. Like, people came from Florida. Like, we met couples flew from Texas for it. It's crazy, too, of how much the plant brings people together.
Oh, yeah.
You met people from different states on the same line.
Yeah. And listen, just for the audience, like, you know, this is a smoking business podcast. Talk a little business. Just do a little math. You know what I mean? When you're seeing 1,500 to 2,000 people a day, and let's call the average ticket $52.
Okay? I mean, at that time, it was...
Yeah, I would say...
One-eighth.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Like,
that was the other thing is we got by, dude. We only really had eighths of flour and... If that pre-rolls and some distillate cards.
No sales.
Mm-mm.
No, not that time. Mm-mm. So you're talking fucking average ticket, $65 to $90. 2,000 people a day. You do the math, right? What a time, man.
Yeah.
What a time.
It was crazy. Yeah. But that's actually, too, like, those days formed a lot of bonds for a lot of us.
I can imagine, man. Now, so you're the GM. You're kicking ass. You then become the senior purchasing manager.
Correct.
Okay. Tell me what that is.
So that's where I mentioned on being the inventory manager, getting that buying experience. I then was doing that for all three of the Zenleafs through the like next stretch of adult use.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That's hard, man. So, I mean, you transition from that. And then before we get into Garden Greens, I'm just curious. You go from Zenleaf, which is a retailer, your background's in retail, Zumiez retail, and then you go do your thing with a cultivation company. In Garden Greens. What was the motivation to even do something like that?
Well, I found them got set up with a tour and met Josh. I mean, I'm sure he's going to hate. He doesn't like the light on him at all. Like, we were talking, you and I are in the corner, dudes. Like, just keep to, he is a very keep to himself dude.
Okay.
But I met him. We'd spoken on the phone. He invited me down for a tour. And the day I met him, I knew something special was going to happen with Garden Greens.
Okay.
Like, the dude is a very, I'm very blessed to have him as a mentor at this stage.
That's awesome, man.
And like, dude, we just went. I went on one of the tours, like we had you guys on, and I could feel it. Like, I felt like that 12-year-old Joe again of like, this is my reintroduction to weed.
Real shit.
Because, you know, people like you and I at our core are weed people.
Yeah, like, 100%.
We were talking about earlier. We got licensed stuff and we buy stuff where we gotta get it.
Listen, but man,
I knew at that point I was back where real weed was, and I wasn't in that corporate weed anymore.
Yep.
And I don't want to sound like I'm talking shit on corporate weed. I'm very grateful for someone that got into it without using my degree, the platform that Zenleaf and Verano gave me, but I'm not a corporate guy, like, not putting a vest on, and I'm not doing all that, but like, at that moment in our grow, I knew I wanted to sign with Garden Greens.
Real shit, man.
And dude, halfway through the tour, I've never told this story to anyone really at like this kind of scale. We're in one of the rooms and Josh is showing me Sunset Sherbert.
Okay.
And I'm just like, cool story, bro. Like, it's not 2022 anymore. We're in 24. And he's like, all my friends said the same thing about this. And he's like, but I don't care. I want to smoke it and we're going to grow this and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had that light bulb of, holy shit, like, you just tell me we're going to sell what we want to smoke, not like something we're being told. And he's like, yeah, that's what this is about. And right at then, I was like, dude, listen, I'll sign a wholesale agreement. I'll get you lined up, put you on the shelves. And he's like, oh, no, your offer letter's on my desk. Like, I was like, cool, let's go.
Oh, that's
go
hard, sign man. It.
Yeah.
That's hard, man. That's hard, man.
And since then, dude, it's been a blessing to be on the cultivation side because I'm really a nerd about the genetics and how they grow it. And that's where, as I mentioned earlier, shout out to that team of like the Summers, the Alexes, Savannahs, Amanda, like you mentioned,
sure.
Pat, Rabbit, everyone, Jeremy, our director of cultivation, everyone back there is just in love with the plant and in love what they do. So like, to be able to witness that, that's what made me want to go to Garden Greens too.
Absolutely, man. Man, that's awesome, man. That's a dope ass story. And that's real shit, man. So like, let's talk about Garden Greens. Number one, when we came to tour your facility, I was blown away by how big the motherfucker is.
Yes.
Huge.
Shout out to the D'Andrea family, the owners of our license. It was their original produce storage and cold packing facility.
And they've been around since, what, 1917?
Yep, over 100 years.
I mean, man, like, how do you guys formulate a relationship like that? How do you get this this renowned family that's been just amazing for over a freaking century to buy into cannabis?
They, like you've said, they've been in Vineland the whole time.
Okay.
They saw the licenses coming. They wanted to get in. They got in and then quickly realized of like, wait, we grow blueberries. We don't grow weed.
For sure.
They got Josh involved and then they formed their bond. I've now to this day, the fathers, his son, both daughters, they're all incredible people. But like, they're just super stoked on what they're giving us the opportunity to do for them. And it's a beautiful relationship.
Man, that's amazing, man. I love when people do good business and then the relationships make sense.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's sustainable at that point. Speaking of sustainability, I love the way that Garden Greens hit the ground running. I remember you guys dropped your biscotti and I want to say Z-Pie right out the gate.
RIP the biscotti, dude. I'm so mad we got rid of that one. It was one of my favorites. It's a funny story, too, because the day Josh decided to announce it was gone was the day of my birthday. And, like, oh, it's all on Instagram, like, RIP Biscotti, this is the last run.
Damn.
I walked in at work, I'm like, dude, you're an asshole. Can I curse on this?
You can do whatever you want. This is the Smoking Business Podcast, bro. You can do whatever you want.
But, yeah, dude, I walked in, I was like, you're an asshole, dude. It's my birthday, and you're getting rid of it?
That sucks, man.
But, like, that's what I've learned on the cultivation side. You know, there's certain numbers those plants got to hit. And it could smoke the best, but...
But I want to make sure you guys get your flowers, though, man, because
thank you.
People don't keep it real in this industry, and I'm going to keep it real right now. Garden Greens dropped Biscotti Z-Pie as an independent cultivator at a time when all you were really getting was an MSO flower.
Yeah.
Were you guys the first independent?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one. So this is the first time we're experiencing anything outside of an MSO. And boy, you guys gave us hope. You guys gave us hope because it was like, shit, this is a possibility. This kind of weed in the market is a possibility.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, since you guys, we've had the EVs and the Clay Nines and the Full Tilts. Shout out to all of them. But
dude, all killer flower. Like, that's the other thing.
Great shit. You know what I'm saying?
I want to make that clear. Is like, we don't want to compete with those guys. Like, we all just want to smoke good weed at the end of the day. So, like, the more of us, the better it is for this market.
Bro, I couldn't agree more, man. So, I just want to just give you guys a major shout out with that. You know, well, Garden Greens has been around, what, a little over a year?
Nah, we haven't even been.
Not even a year
yet. We launched right around March.
Okay, wow. Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man, congratulations. You guys are killing it.
Dude, it's been a wild ride. I came on in February. And it was quiet at first because, like, we were packaging the flower. Harvests were starting to come down. And then we hit that March launch. And March all the way up until today has just been...
Just go.
Crazy.
Love it, bro.
And from now, of, like, those early days when it was just me out on the road, like, getting jars to people, showing the flower to people and so on, to now having the team I've had to go on the road has been a crazy experience.
I mean, I'm glad you bring that up because we can't have a conversation without talking about your team. When I think about Loud Pack and Aisha and Toast and Exotic, like, it's like they all are so unique yet so authentic, and it just matches with the brand, man. I just really love the way you guys market yourself, market your brand, and allow them to be who they are.
That's the thing that I've noticed makes it work is each one of them is essentially a brand of their own. Like, I've known Exotic Wasu, dude, almost 3 years now because we worked together at that Zen Leaf. Always knew he was a talented artist. Always knew, like, when the opportunity would come, bring him along for the ride. And he's, dude, I had big expectations for him, but he even exceeded everything I could have thought of. Dudes like Toast, who has his own brand, like Aisha and her Canna John stuff. Nobody knows him by his actual name.
I don't know his name.
Everyone knows him as
Loud Pack. I know his Toast.
And say this Toast. Like, these individuals all have something that represents themselves and they know how to maintain it.
Real shit.
And that's really what makes our machine work, because each one of them knows at the end of the day, like, yes, you have the Toast brand, the Exotic brand, but we as a team are Garden Greens. And like, they push that as hard as they push themselves.
For sure. And you know, that's the hardest thing. I don't want to just breeze past that, right? Because, like, you do it with Garden Greens. We obviously have our squad with Mud Brothers and our other organizations. Like, you got to have people that really believe in the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because in cannabis, it's flashes in the pan. I don't care how good you are, right? It's going to be constant flashes in the pan. Say what I mean by that. You're going to have a 3-month run where you're just on fire. Your personal brand, whatever you got going, you're on fire. And if you show colors that ain't the right colors in those 3 months, when you, you know, simmer down a little bit in those 9 months, I'm gonna remember the colors you showed.
Oh yeah.
And I think people too often get a little fire going, and they forget where, like, how they got there and where they're trying to go. And I'll give you case in point. Every chance I get, I'm shouting out air. Every chance I'm talking about that collaboration. You know why? I don't care how hot Mud Brothers gets. We wouldn't have got here without them.
No.
And I'm never going to forget that. I'm never going to let that slip my mind. I don't care what, you know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to let that, you know. And I see too often people collaborate with brands or work with brands, and the second their brand starts getting a little emotion, they forget where the fuck they came from.
Dude, that's like what we were talking about earlier when I pulled up, is like, you know, I told you I always keep my team on the words of hungry and humble. You and your team move the same way as... You treat everyone with the same respect no matter what point of your career or your image your brand gets, because I love that saying, you know, as quickly as you got to the top, you'll see the same people on the way down. And it's exactly that. You just have to watch how you move, treat people, and And remember where you came from, you know, because a lot of people do, like you said, switch up. They get that 15 second reel on Instagram that goes crazy. Next thing you know, they're not shaking hands.
Bro, it's nuts. And you, and for someone like myself, it's like, I've accomplished a lot. If I sat here and ran through the checklist of, and it's like, I see folks do one or two things and think that they can now start acting a certain way. And it's like, why do you even want to do that? I don't want to get successful to be a dickhead.
No.
I don't want to get successful to be, like, unapproachable.
Dude, successful to me is all of us smoking the same good weed at, like, a nice event space, like, you Sesh House, something like that. Like,
you and I are working right now.
Exactly.
This is success to me. Having a good time with somebody I fuck with, talking some shit that someone can watch and learn from and burn from and earn from. Like, that's what the fuck we're here for, man. You know? Stand on the concept of the industry as a whole and just loyalty. You're obviously doing your thing with Garden Greens. Like, where are you trying to be, say, 5 years from now?
I mean, hopefully still doing Garden Greens, but I mean, you know, I've mentioned to you earlier, a lot of things you've done inspire what I want to do. And like, I want my own brand like that. Like,
real shit.
I don't know what it is yet, but I want my own Mud Brothers. And I want to find that lane to go that route and still do what I do for Garden Greens.
Well, sure. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you the interesting thing, where like, and even in your situation, like, your play is that.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like, you have a Garden Greens, which quintessential air, where it's like, yeah, my brand is here and you're going to grow my brand.
Because, like,
you know what I mean? Like,
for me at this point, the way things are going, been going, like, all these blessings that keep falling in my life, thanks to Garden Greens and so on, is like, I don't want to go anywhere. This is home now. Yeah. Like,
I like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to build something underneath.
And I'm glad you bring it up, right? Because this is a smoking business podcast, but we got to talk about the personal, emotional side of business, right? We're still human beings.
Yes.
People look at us as men, as business owners, as executives, as this and that. We're still men. We still got motherfucking emotions. I want to be in an environment that I like being in.
Exactly.
If I can avoid it. Now, business is business. Sometimes you got to work with motherfuckers you don't want to work with. You can't avoid it all the time.
They're there.
They're there.
They're not going anywhere. There's more coming.
You know what I'm saying? But if I can have a crew of people that, if nothing else, we're happy around one another. We actually like being around one another. If I say, shit, guys, we got to go an extra 2 hours.
Yep.
They're not like, fuck my life. You know what I mean? Like, and you mentioned before, like, treating everyone like, from the janitor to the CEO, the same exact way. I, too, am very faith-based, right? Mm. I'm not going to say I go to church all the time and this and that.
Me neither.
But I do believe in just treating people right is really where your blessings come from.
Dude, it's all about loving each other. No matter what, like,
you know,
there's too much bullshit going on out in the world and outside of weed. So just get along. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we got into weed for, is because weed brings us all together.
No, real shit. Now, these days, bro, I'm a little bit 50-50 on it, right? Where like a part of me is like, yeah, love each other. Mm-hmm. But another part of me is like, all right, if this is what my motherfuckers want to play.
Dude, well, yeah, you're preaching to the choir.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like the nice guy shit just only gets you but so far.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets you but so far, man. And this industry is so hard. I think when people start to peel back the onion, we were talking about Darsh earlier.
I have to say, like, quick story with Darsh.
Okay.
She's like my weed mom.
Okay.
And so much to the point, like, my mom's getting into cannabis now. Sorry to put her business on blast.
Shout out to mom.
She was doing the wrong thing. She didn't know where she was buying, didn't know what product she needed. The only person I trusted was Darsh.
Yeah, seriously, though.
She shopped my mom through. My mom went to Joyleaf. Mm-hmm. She shopped with Darsh. Like, that woman is incredible.
You know, she was here not so long ago to do the pod. And we talked about just that fact that, like, she is that person that really can introduce anyone to the plant.
It's just her aura, bro. Like,
her aura, but she's also a ganjiere.
Mm-hmm.
She's extremely knowledgeable, personable. And she's done different things in her past that have prepared her to be
exactly
what she is now. And we said she's super humble, where if Darsh came out and told you what she was and what she did and how she does, you would freaking fall out of your seat.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, pay attention to those people who aren't talking shit and doing work.
Exactly.
It's a lot of people doing a little work, talking a lot of shit. I'm being real. Check the people that are doing a lot of work and talking a little shit, because in a couple years, it's going to be a different story.
Exactly.
I mean, like for someone like yourself, I want to talk weed for a little bit. Let's get off the business shit and just talk some smoke here on the Smoking Business Podcast.
All right, this is where I really shine.
Yeah, we're gonna get deep too, man, because I like you. You are a someone I look at as a real connoisseur of the plant, someone that appreciates different varieties, different eras of the plant. I need to know your top three strains and why. I need to know right now.
I love this question. So now it does go, you can ask me this question 7 days a week. Okay. It may change all seven.
That's cool.
I hate to do it. Everyone that'll watch this is going to be like typical East Coast kid, but number one for me is sour.
Number one. If you can number smoke one. Anything in the world.
Anything in, like, I'm talking Desert Island, so on, sour diesel.
Okay, okay.
And like, I hate to break it to everyone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop this. I want the old sour back because it's gone, but just learn to appreciate the new sour.
Yeah.
You know?
I enjoy the new sour.
I don't care. It's sour to me.
I enjoy it. Yeah, I enjoy it.
But yeah, sour is a number one for me. Shit, man. Number two is kind of current. I love Gary Payton.
Oh, man. That's my... Like, well, depends on what Gary Payton you're talking about.
Like, I'm just saying, any well-executed Gary...
Okay. So all day strain.
It's I can do it morning, afternoon, yep. Nighttime. It does what I want it. And then three, very, very new. And we just put one out in Test Kitchen, but the Candy Fumes is a top
candy
three for fumes. Me.
What's the genetics on
that's
that?
A Skittles time Sherbanger.
Oh, man. I'm into the Skittles right now.
So, dude, and I hate to admit it, but like that Z-Terp just uh-huh. does it for me right now.
Everything else is fucking candy, bro.
And once again, to go back, like I said, he's a great mentor. Josh's all-time is Z.
Okay.
And, dude, he's got some real Z that he breaks me off time to time. And it's... There's nothing special about Z, the way it looks. Like, the nose is crazy.
Yeah.
It changes your life every time you smoke
it. Oh, my God. It's the best, bro. It opens the world up.
Yeah, it's a self-reflective, it's like... It's a talk to yourself and God at the same type of smoke.
It puts you in like the best spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm big on Z's.
Right now, bro, that knapsack I showed you is probably nothing but Z and that motherfucker, bro. All different varieties of it.
I'm big on too. I love gelatos, especially the 41.
I'm going to tell you, all right, so this is a sad story because my brother would tell you, I was Mr. Gelato from the time it came out to maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, they bought lemon cherry gelato out. It changed my life.
Well, that's another thing to bring up on. And I know I told you earlier, I told him I would like drop a little something, but lemon cherry is a special one for me too. Mm. And I do a lot of like work with, and he calls me a lot with David from Prolific.
Okay.
Not sure exactly when this episode may drop, before it does or after, but they're putting a strain out David's name in for me.
Okay.
Just because of all the work we've done together.
That's hard, man.
We're putting out lemon crusty gelato.
Lemon crusty gelato. So that's hard.
It all goes back to LCG.
That's hard, man.
Sorry to cut you.
Nah, you ain't cutting out. That's what's up, man. That's
I
hard.
I just wanted to get, you know, David's done a lot for me. Like, you seen what we did when we were at Zen Leaf.
For sure.
You and
sure.
I had met. So, like, for that to happen, I just wanted to get people excited when they check this out.
Nah, man, that's dope, man. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, they ruined it for me, man, because lemon cherry gelato came out, changed my life, and then they just started doing all kind of weird shit with gelato.
Everything.
All kinds of weird
it went
shit.
From everything is like the gelato, a 41, a 33, and then you had LCG.
And then it just poof.
LCZ, LCG.
Bro,
LC,
but prior to lemon cherry gelato, to your point, it was just legit. Larry Bird, 41. If you had some Larry Bird, for those that don't know, Gelato 33 is Larry Bird. That was, I mean, I would pay whatever. I would drive whatever. I mean, man, I went on road trips to get some fucking Larry Bird. Then they dropped LCG. I'm super excited. Okay, look at the possibilities. And then they just went left and they fucked gelato up for me. And now today, yeah. I can't stand gelato.
I mean, now too, dude, I've gotten big into the rosins now. Like, the level of flavor you're getting out of those dabs is,
oh my God,
it's crazy. And I really got to chill with them, but like, I'm getting big into hash, so now, like, it's kind of weird. It changes my palate from a typical East Coast, like, give me sour, give me chem. When I buy rosin, I want that Z, like, give me the candiest sounding name you got. I don't want no funky shit, no gas.
Yeah, real shit.
But
so, look, I'm not going to lie to you. That shit I just gave you, that zero gravity live resin.
That's a GMO. That's going to be some funk.
That's going to be funky. I mean, that's funky.
I can't wait for
I mean,
that.
funky. Like, but now I know what you like. I'm gonna give you some of this cherry sunset next time.
Oh, dude, don't get me wrong. The GMOs and the rosin, uh-huh. Give me that.
Okay, all right, cool. Okay.
Nah, any gift is well appreciated. I'm an all-inclusive smoker at the end of the day.
Nah, real shit. Equal liberties, bro. You know what I'm talking about? So, man, before we get you out of here, bro, like, tell the people where they can find you on Instagram, social media, you know, what you got going on.
Instagram's the biggest one. Me personally, @Krusty_ill. There's two separate Garden Greens pages because I don't know what happened. Instagram locked one up. Okay. And then 3 months later was like, yo, here's your account back.
Oh, wow.
Garden Greens NJ, Garden Greens period NJ. Follow those two.
Okay.
And the Test Kitchen NJ on Instagram. That's our Test Kitchen spot.
Okay. All right. Cool, man. Last question, then you're out of here. What do you say to someone watching this that's in the same position you were in a few years ago, at a dispensary, at a retail location, doing something there, maybe looking to do something a little bigger and looking to kind of, for their pathway, how they're going to get out of their situation to elevate and do something that makes them as happy as you are right now?
Remain two things: teachable and available.
Hello.
That's the biggest thing from what got me of, like, fresh in recovery, getting a job at Zoomies. Like, I didn't know shit. I was willing to learn and listen whatever you needed to teach me and apply it and just keep going. Be available.
No, real shit.
Show
bro.
Up for that shift. Like, it might suck. You might want to get out of it, but like, still show up because you never know what's going to happen that day.
And guys watching this, man, he's spot on, right? I always say, you got to always be a student.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit how big you get, what you got going on. Always be a student. Always be willing to learn. You can learn from anybody. And availability, you know, is everything. Yep. Showing up. Half the battle is just showing up all the time, dude, consistently.
Like, with what I've said with you, of like, my background, where I came from to get to this point is, like, all I did was show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I worked a Zoomies sales kid job until I became a manager, mm-hmm. just by showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to sell t-shirts, like,
real shit.
It's, you're hitting it right on the head.
Real shit. Applying for those dispensary jobs.
Yep.
You know, like, showing the fuck up. Going to those interviews. Showing the fuck up. Following up on emails. Showing the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Doing your fucking job. Showing the fuck up.
Exactly.
Moral of the story, show the fuck up. All right, guys. Another episode of the Smoking Business Podcast. Your boy, Brendan Robinson. Make sure you like this. Subscribe. Tap in with us. You know the vibes. It's muddy season. Let's get it. We out of here.